Good morning. That's not my daughter that just came up here. That's my wife, Samantha, of 16 years next month. And I'm gonna have a teenager next month too. Whoa. Time is moving. My dad says, you're growing up, son. Hey, I want to say thank you to Garrett for leading worship this morning and the whole worship team. You guys just, where is Garrett? Oh, he's gone. Yeah, he's the youngest. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? They did great. And I want to say this too, before we move on. What a blessing it is to minister with you here. We've been through a season, haven't we? We all appreciate things that we took for granted. Amen. Am I the only one? Don't leave me alone this morning. And I'm so appreciative that you're all here this morning. You make such an impact, such a difference in my life and in the gospel. And I just thank you for getting up out of the bed and coming to the Lord's house and really honoring him with your presence here this morning. Thank you. My parents, of course, I say it every time I come up here, so thankful for my parents. Love my mom, love my dad. Great, great people. Love my family. I think it's wonderful. And let me react to something my dad said. Garrett sharing on a Thursday, and I think that's great. Cheryl spoke last Thursday night. There's opportunities to serve the ministry here. Don't expect to walk in and say, give me a mic, I'm ready to preach. But when you show yourself faithful, when you show yourself faithful not only to God's house but to his word, there are opportunities that come about in God's kingdom. And let me just sow this seed. I felt it in my spirit as I sat there. I want to sow this seed. What is ahead of us is so much greater than what's behind us. God wants to do something through the ministry, through the leadership, through the body of Christ here, that if I was even to begin to explain what is on my heart for the ministry here, some of the elders would be waving at me a sign that said budget. But God is going to do a great work. He's not done. Our gates, our territory will be widened. Our tent pegs will be widened, and there will be opportunity to serve the Lord here like never before. Can you say amen to that this morning? And I'm thankful this week also I spent two full days. When I tell you I was whipped at the end of it at the chapel at Cross Point this week with Dr. Jerry Gillis, Dr. Dwight, and I keep forgetting his last name, Dad. Dr. Dwight Smith wrote many, many books. Check him out. Pastor John Camardo, Pastor Kim Hoyt, and Pastor Jonathan Drake, whom I love and respect very much. And they've just poured into my life in a way that's just undescribable. And I'm extremely thankful for not only my parents, the influence that they bring to my life, but all these people. And I could go on and on about it. But I'm thankful to have people pouring into me. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you. I've been considering this thought, and I really was resistant to the Holy Spirit as he began to sow this into me. And I kept coming back to this portion of Scripture that really I wasn't exactly. A lot of times when I'm reading something, God will speak to me. But this came to me, and I've heard it preached before. I've heard it ministered before. I believe my dad has preached on it before. But I kept coming to this, and then this morning, early this morning, someone—it was a moment where I said, "Oh, okay, now I understand why God, you're speaking this to me." 2 years ago, right in this very spot, I was ordained into the work of the ministry right here. Yeah, give the Lord honor for that. And I kept hearing these words that difficulty comes. You know, 2 years ago, if you'd have told me that Corona would strike a year in to serving here as a minister, I would tell you, rebuke that thing. Get that thing away from me, because I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't want to be in the midst of that type of turmoil and in God's house. I don't even want to see that type of struggle in God's people, and people that I love dearly and that I respect and that I care for dearly. I don't want to see God's people have to walk through a season like that. And I'm sure you feel that same way for people that you love that you know are struggling. There are so many dynamics in this thing, the ripple effect of Corona that it's had on the emotional well-being and the spiritual well-being of God's people. It's been tough. And I kept coming back to this and coming back to this. And I want to draw a reference to a portion of Scripture. And I'm not going to be long because it's 10 to 11. So we'll get right moving here. I want to draw a reference to Acts 27, verse 19. It said, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. I want you to really just pay attention close to this just for a couple minutes. It's a little more reading than normal, but it's worth the wait here. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging. You felt like that a little bit? The storm just kept on. When you just thought you were going to get a little peace in the middle of the storm, something else cropped up. Something else happened. Something else surfaced that kind of shook you to the core. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, and it says these words. The Scripture actually says these words. It says, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. And I think if each one of us are honest, I think if each one of us are transparent, we've all been in seasons and moments in our lives that we kind of gave up hope a little bit. We might have walked into church. We might have walked into our small group with a smile on our face. We wanted to give off that we had it all together and we knew it was just going to be just fine. But in the midst of all that, there was a little glimmer that we hid from public view that we were kind of losing all hope. You ever been there? We finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, that's the devil right there. Paul stood up before them and said this, and you need men and women of God in your life like this. I love what I'm about to read because I have men and women of God like this in my life. This morning, I'm preparing to minister in the first service, and Pastor Ron Bergio texts me out of the blue. He says, the word of the Lord is with you, son. Johnny Bergio, great friend of mine, one of the greatest preachers in the region, great friend of mine. Every time I get around him, I get full because we eat, but I also get encouraged. And you need those types of people in your life. And it says this, Paul stood up and said these words, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. He says, I gave you some advice. I gave you some direction. I gave you orders, if you may, and you disregarded them. You ever had a father figure, a mother figure in your life that said, dude, I told you not to do that. I told you not to go that way. I told you if you did this, you'd end up facing this storm that you didn't need to, but now you're in the midst of it because you made a bad decision. I have men like that in my life. The older I get, the more thankful I am for those voices in my life. And just a parent, a parent being that voice. It's not enough. That's why it's so critical you bring your kids to church. It's no big deal. I can lead them. I can mentor them. I can be that voice. It's not enough. I'm a PK. Let me tell you something. It's not enough. He goes on to say this. After he gets done correcting, he says this. You would have spared yourself the damage and loss. Right out of the scripture, how relevant. But he goes on to say this, but now I urge you, keep the courage, because not one of you will be lost. I love that. I love men and women of God that when I'm at my lowest, when the storm of life is raging and I can't get my footing, I can't get my mental stability, I can't get clear thought, men and women of God that have come into my life at the right time, at the right moment, and listen to God's Spirit to say, go over to that young man, go over to that young woman and just tell them they're loved, they're cared for, and they're going to get to the other side. And that's what Paul does in this scripture. Just to put this into context, and for the sake of time, I won't read anymore, but Paul is traveling by ship to Rome to go and talk to Caesar himself about accusations that have been made against him. Oh, I could preach on that. Accusations. Gossip and nonsense and drama that is hurled at you when you're trying to do God's will. You're trying to walk in the promises of God, and you get this resistance. You get this blocking. You get this hindrance. You're like, what in the world is happening? And we draw reference from Paul. Paul is arrested. Paul is thrown in jail. Paul is brought before people, and it even says that the magistrate said, there's no reason, there's no cause here, but the Jewish people, because he was challenging what was, because he was challenging what is, all of a sudden they brought this resistance against him and arrested him. The guy ends up in a ship headed for Rome as a prisoner of the gospel. Doing the right thing, doing what God's asked him to do, but a prisoner. Wow. And all of a sudden, while on board, this storm pops up, threatening the survival of not just the Apostle Paul, but everyone on board. As the gale pushed the ship near land, the crew dropped four anchors to secure the boat and prevent it from being broken into pieces. Every person in this room, whether facing a storm now, if you're not, you will be at some point. And I want to share with you four keys, four simple keys that the scripture gleans that will keep us, sustain us, carry us to a place of peace amidst the storm. Your children, your marriage, your family, your destiny won't be dashed against the sea. It will be held in focus by four simple things. Number one, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Peace will come when you remember that you have a purpose. Interesting. Acts 27, verse 25, the scripture says, it will happen just as I told you. It means that our purpose predates our conception, which also means our purpose predates the storm that we're facing. Paul is on a ship. Paul is going through a struggle. Paul, he's on shifting sand. He's on shifting waters. And his purpose is being carried out while he's in the midst of turmoil. He's on the ship. He's a prisoner for the gospel's sake. Don't you think at one moment or time in his life he said, Lord, I've been serving you. I've been serving your purpose. I'm on this ship. I'm in this storm. What in the world is happening? He goes back to a simple practice. He remembers that God's purpose was on him. Jeremiah 1:5, it says, even while he was in his mother's womb, God knew him and had a purpose for his life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Our purpose from God is bigger than the storm that we're facing. He put divine purpose in each one of us that it will not be stopped. As tough as it is right now, God is working on your behalf. Don't focus on the storm. Focus on God's purpose for your life. Remember, God is moving you forward even though you're facing a storm. Paul ends up on the other side. Amen. Paul ends up weathering the storm. Paul ends up, the crazy thing is, he begins to have authority on the ship as a prisoner. They begin to ask him, what should we do? The soldiers begin to come to him because he's walking in the purposes and the promises of God. They come to him, the soldiers who are holding him, come to him and say, what do we do, Paul? God's purpose and plan will carry you through any storm. He will give you authority during the storm. Paul was given influence, even though he felt the waves crashing in his life. Your purpose will carry you through the storm. Number one, your purpose is it's stronger than any storm. And can I say this to you? If you don't know your purpose, I preached a message 2 weeks ago. You say, well, I don't know what to do, Ryan. What's God's purpose for my life? 2 weeks ago, I gave a message that will give you indicators to your purpose, to your God-given purpose. Please, please, please go back and listen to it. God has a purpose and has a plan for your life. Number two, peace will come when you find courage in the storm. When we're in a storm, fear often rises, threatening to control our actions and our attitude. But courage in the face of the storm brings strength. It takes courage to cheer up. It takes courage to walk with a smile. That's why God told Joshua, be of good courage. And another passage says, be of good cheer, Joshua. We don't go into pieces in the storm. We don't whine in the storm. We courage up in the storm. It's not that you're insensitive. It's not that you're rude. It's not that you're mean. You feel the storm, but you don't identify with it. Courage, you can see it in a person's countenance when the enemy has just worked in a life. It's this. And I want to encourage you this morning to courage up, to walk in courage, to walk in the authority that God has given you. You know what courage is? Courage is when you're going through chemo, walking into church and smiling at people irregardless. Courage is when you can barely pay your bills and you're still a tither, you're still a giver because you know what's in front of you is greater than what's behind you. Courage is playing an instrument when the governor shuts down churches altogether. You strut right in here. You play your instrument anyhow so people can worship the Lord. Courage is preaching a message with no one in the pews. That's courage. Smiling, blessing, encouraging people while you're going through the storm. Courage. Acts 27:22 says, but now I urge you, Paul says, keep the courage. And it literally means keep dreaming. That's why I sow that in you right off the start. Because God wants to do something so wonderful. It's not for an elite few. It's for every person in this room. Don't believe the lie of the enemy that it's not for you. It's for you, it's for me, and it's for our families. Courage up. Come on, say it. Courage up. The message of Christianity is victory. It's not victim. It's not depression. It's not disassociation. It's courage in the face of adversity. God's not leading you to misery. He's leading you to victory. Amen. Number one, don't forget your purpose in the storm. Number two, peace will come when you find courage in Jesus. And number three, peace will come when you find yourself in worship. Two scriptural references this morning. Do you remember when Paul was ministering the gospel and a woman came up, and the scripture literally depicts that she's demon-possessed? It says that, Acts 16. You know what Paul does? He does what we're called to. He rebukes the spirit within the woman. He doesn't rebuke the woman. He doesn't hate the woman. He hates that demonic spirit within the woman. He drives it out. She gets freed, and you know what she gets at the same time? Mad. Because it cost her when she got free. He rebukes that spirit. They join together with Jewish leaders. They arrest Paul and Silas. They throw them into jail. You know the story. And the scripture says they begin to sing songs and hymns unto the Lord, just like you did this morning. You might not, maybe you didn't want to. Maybe you didn't feel like it, but you did it anyhow. And that's when the victory comes. The scripture literally says that the walls of the jail crumbled. And they knew that God's presence was on him. Another reference. In this very scripture, you say, where did he worship in this? I got it for you. I love this. It says in verse 35, after he said this, he took the bread, gave thanks to God in front of all of them. Do you remember that? Listen to those words. He took the bread. He blessed it. He gave thanks. It kind of sounds like he took the bread. He broke it. He gave thanks, saying, this is my body that's been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Paul had a habit. He listened to Jesus, and he had a habit of giving thanks, and he had a habit of worship that just came out of him in a difficult time. And you might not have that habit. You might have the habit of, you know, Sister so-and-so, she shouldn't be up there, and they shouldn't be doing that. You got to drop that habit, and you got to get a habit of thanksgiving. See, it's a disposition. It's a mindset. It's a spirit that gets on a person where they're not grateful. They got something to complain about anything. You could give them exactly what they want, and they'll say, but just so you know. It's a spirit, and we need to carry a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of a worshiper, a spirit of a praiser. And when you do it, all of a sudden the tide turns. He doesn't call us to be whiners. He calls us to be worshipers. If your flesh says, why should I go to church? I didn't get my way this week. That's exactly the moment when you say, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all of a sudden, what you're facing begins to calm. And the majesty of who God is becomes bigger. Number three, you need to be a worshiper. Number four, my last point. Peace will come. Please don't get bored with this. Because I pray in Jesus' name, this is sown an impression in your heart for life. Peace will come when you plant yourself in church. The strength, power, and protection that you are looking for. You. Every person in this place. The peace, power, and protection that you're looking for. You know where it's found? Right in the house of the Lord. Prove it to me through Scripture, Ryan. Okay, I will. Psalm 92. But the godly will flourish like the palms, like the palm trees, and grow strong in the cedar of Lebanon. Listen to these words. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. See what I get around here? Even in old age, they'll still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. When you're in a storm, don't run from the church. Run to God's house. You say, aren't God's people the church? Yes, they are, but this is his temple, and this is where he dwells. Mark my words on it. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as they see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, mark my words, the day is approaching. You can see the wonders in the skies. This week again, look up. Look up to heaven. Look at the skies. Look at the wonder. And look at the world. When trauma comes, oftentimes we're blinded. When trauma comes, it's literally described. I wish I had time to read you the definition of trauma. This is the definition. You're blinded. You ever heard a person, well, this happened and that happened and I'm mad. Trauma. I'm done with church. I'm done with God. Trauma. I'm done with people. I'm done with my pastor. Trauma. And when we get in a storm, the scripture describes something. It says that they dropped four anchors. For me, maybe not for you, but for me, this church has been an anchor. When I started going off on my own, I'm done with that. You think I haven't dealt with that? Newsflash. All of a sudden, that began to happen. The anchor of God's house. All right. I'm blind. My emotions are lying to me. Come on, somebody. My emotions, my psyche is lying to me. They do love me. They do care about me. They do value me. Pulling me back. The anchor of God's house. But there's been a few times. There's been a few times. My dad, especially, as I grow older, and he grows a little older. There's been some times, you know what's happened? On his own. I'm talking to parents right now. On his own, he couldn't hold me. As tough and rough and gruff as he is, couldn't hold me on his own. But all of a sudden, my phone rang. Ryan, where you at, man? Bro, what are you doing, man? Don't get blinded by the trauma, Ryan. Get back home. Get back to the house of the Lord. You've been there before. And all of a sudden, with no strength on my own, I'm not doing a thing. With no strength on my own, I was pulled back in. Now, I want to teach you something. And don't miss this. You know how many people I've watched? Trauma. I'm done with the anchor. I'm done with the anchor of God's house. I'm done with the anchor of my pastors. I'm done with the anchor of God's house. And I've literally seen them drown a spiritual death. I've seen it. There's four things. If you do them, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, don't forget your purpose. If you're not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Your purpose is still ahead of you. Number two, you got to find courage. You got to find courage. You got to courage up. Number three, don't forget it. When you find yourself in worship, submitted to God Himself, He can't help but draw you to Himself because He's a man of His word. And lastly, don't you ever, dad, mom, son, daughter, don't you ever lose the anchor of your church. There are people in this room listening to me. In the first service when I got done, I had a man 50-some years old come up to me. He said, man, I've blown the first half of my life to pieces. There are people in here. Your life has been one mistake after another. I want to sow something into you. He is the anchor of our soul. The scripture literally says that he will redeem what the enemy, what the locust, has stolen. How's he do it? He's sovereign. He does. You're sitting here. That's a part of it. Your life is not over. The greatest days of your life are yet ahead. Would you close your eyes? Father, thank you for your house. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the examples in this place of the redeeming power that you provide. I pray for that one who's weary in spirit this morning. You just spoke to them in particular. Father, bring strength, bring healing, minister peace and kindness. And Lord, we as a body, help us to recognize when someone's floating off in their own accord. Give us the words to speak, hearts to see, to understand. Give us the words to say to help that drawing process back to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know we love you so much. We believe in you. And you are a part of the family of God. Don't disconnect. Plug in our small groups all week, our connect groups all week long. Aaron posts them every Monday as a resource. It's a connecting point. Another word for the anchor is connection. You need that connection through people. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day.